Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Shalom, hello everyone. Wonderful Sunday, Bukhim Abaim, welcome. Back at the Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. I'm Ilan Azulay, I'm your host, I'm a spiritual mentor and a coach for you who are ready to reclaim your power. We work through sound and meaning of what, of the tools that we create. First, I want to start with a blessing and a dedication. Hareini mekabel al atzmi et mitzvat aseh shel ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. I hereby accept on myself the utterance or the due commandment of love your friend, your neighbor, your partner, the one you don't know, in the same way that you express love to yourself. And welcome. We are here. We have a wonderful, wonderful show. I have a wonderful guest sitting to my right. Vanessa Petronelli.
Mm-hmm. Petronelli. You got it. Hello.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Vanessa is a spiritual coach, she's a speaker, she's a trans channel. And this is quite fascinating, especially because my intention or the work here or the program here is to look at different tools, how we change things within us and how do we embrace spiritual into the physical. How are we manifesting our wills, our desires, our intentions, what we're looking at. And so making meaning in a physical world, something that is meaningful, meaning that it lasts in a profound way. Mm. You know? And so I've seen a little bit of your footages there. And it's fascinating. First of all, Vanessa, hello. Tell me.
Thank you. Hello. It's Hello. Wonderful to be here. Hello, everybody.
So tell me, who are you? Or who are you all?
I'm a spiritual being having a human experience, Ilan. Come on. You know that. No, all kidding aside. it was a lovely introduction. I do spiritual coaching and I work predominantly with people who are leaders, thought leaders, visionaries, influencers, and celebrities, mm-hmm. Who know that they're here for a unique purpose, who know that they're here for a specific mission to create a positive impact and difference in the world, and or even know that they're here to shift consciousness in a certain industry that they're in. And so the coaching is one modality. The other modalities through speaking and trans channeling is the other way in which I do these. I use my gifts, utilize my mm-hmm. gifts in a way and label them in a way that people can understand, because I do a lot more than just that. And I am more than just the things that I do professionally.
Sure. For sure.
But around, you know, in terms of the spiritual guidance work and the ways in which I help bring tools into people's lives to help them to shift their consciousness, to make the changes, to work through their problems and resistance and fears. These are the particular modalities in which I do that through.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. And it's not coincidental that you're here.
Right.
We're here, we're joining. It's like a reconnaissance. Like you finish something, you finish a mission, you come together, you debrief, and then you go out again.
Yeah, I love that. You
know, something like that. And so I read and it's interesting. What I would like to talk about today is, and you know, it all flows, so we can start with an intention and then it goes. It's really to focus on the spiritual connection to the material.
I love it.
on the spiritual connection to the material, how do we translate? How, because I know what you're saying about explaining it in a simple term, not because people are something, but just because there are certain, sometimes that you don't have the tools to inhabit a certain space, or you see in 10 colors, but the other person sees only in 7. Yeah. And so how do you fit your 10 colors information into a 7 color palette? Mm-hmm. And so this is what I would like to ask you now. You were that since you were a kid, you would talk to entities. That's how I call it, because that's what I did.
Yeah. Entities for me is not so benevolent. But yeah, I would have conversations with, you know, God, with my guides. You know, from the time I was a little girl, I was very, very connected to spirit and to source, to God. Uh-huh. However, I didn't really define it that way. It was just something that was. I had a strong intuition. I had a knowing, a feeling, a sense about people and things. And I spoke in a light language, didn't know that it was light language, but I would do these little ceremonies in my bedroom as a little girl. So I had this connection, and I knew from a very young age I was here for a specific reason. And it was through the everyday living of my life and the exploration of my spiritual development and seeing my gifts, my creative gifts and my desire, the intuitive gifts all kind of blend together, and the development of those gifts that really helped me to understand the reason why. Hmm. And what that mission looked like. I didn't know when I was a little girl, though. I had no idea. I just was in the moment, and I was present. Yes. And what came through, came through.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we never know really when we are in. We only can connect the dots after the journey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's more fun that way.
Well, I mean, also, maybe it will be. Maybe it is more fun, but we really don't have a choice, right?
That is true.
We convince ourselves it's fun.
You can make it fun or not. Sometimes the path to getting there is not so fun.
So, yeah, yeah, exactly. It's it's like, yeah, not like it is. That we are in that process, and. We really don't stop to think about it, because if we stop thinking about it, we probably will mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We get in our own way.
We get in our own way. Mm-hmm. Put our own. You know, and you said something in and this is something that I go by, and I also tell clients or when we're here on the radio, your body is your guide, and mm-hmm. your mind is your pride. Right? And there are places where we're listening, like you were talking about, listening from your gut. What is, you know, the gut is this gutty feeling, you know, but then, you know, it can get confused because everybody associates many things to the gut, mm-hmm. even fear and even this. So how do you know to differentiate between the physical feeling, the physical expression of fear mm-hmm. and the, yeah. And, yeah, kind of. So how do you, so when you started, how did you start making the connections between what is there and where you are? Not necessarily that one is more real than the other.
Right. No, I love that. I mean, I want to start by saying I really resonate with the intention for our conversation today.
Yeah.
Because when people ask me what I do often, I one of the things I love to lead with is, well, I'm the bridge between the cosmic, heavenly, universal realm and the earth plane.
Yeah.
I help you to connect and access whatever's here and around and bring it here. Because without bringing that, without bringing the quote-unquote spiritual connection or the spiritual energy here into the earth, into the body, then what good is it? We're here. We're here on a physical planet. We're here in a body. We're meant to be able to embody the spiritual essence of who we are and bring it into physical form. So I just wanted to insert that.
No, that's absolutely right. You know, the thing is that the problem that how we grew up, my generation, and I think your generation passed me, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
it's like this generation of now that are one or two ahead of me. It's like they're born with it built into their DNA.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of understanding, that noetic sense. The noetic sense that while I remember as a kid having all these kind of questions, I mean, fourth grade, about what's next, you know, you just get up, sleep, drink, go to sleep. I mean, coming to these places, coming to these places is not easy to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to... But there is a time that I read for the shift from you to realize that what you're going through is actually a part of a bigger picture.
Mm.
And for that, to understand that as a kid, you need to cancel yourself, so to speak.
Mm.
To cancel yourself towards to understand. And so how do you do the shift?
Yeah, well, I mean... Your other question that you asked, they really dovetail perfectly, because I had such a deep connection to the body and to the intuition. I knew what it felt like. I knew what it was. I knew how it showed up for me. And it wasn't until I was 14 that I actually had a voice speak to me. And the direction that it gave was very, very practical. It's very... In this world,
mm-hmm.
the voice said, you're going into the entertainment industry. And I had no idea why.
Were you not into...
No, nothing. There was no part of me that was associated, no family. I grew up in Canada. no connection.
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard this, yes, I was very musical, very creative and artistic. But I didn't dream of being an actress, you know, from the time I was a little girl. I had other aspirations. I wanted to help people. I wanted to potentially go to the moon. I remember all these things I had written down. So when I had this guidance given to me, I kind of thought to myself, well, I don't know how that's going to happen. How is that going to happen? Nobody that I know is involved in this industry. Well, everything divinely orchestrated and aligned in the physical form from this guidance that I heard, without me getting in the way of it, all of a sudden just unfolded.
Everything was aligned up for you.
Everything.
Just come and get it.
It was, I mean, still to this day, I look back, it was probably one of the most enchanting and incredible moments of my life. It was the moment when I saw that what I was feeling, this intuitive sense that I had, was now manifesting in a different way for me, and manifesting in a way that it was guiding me. It felt like a GPS system inside of me was now saying, this is the path that you're meant to go on, and we're going to direct you.
Did you have any traumatic event, 12 or 13 or something?
No. It was simply, for me, how I look at it was simply, I guess, the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, sorry, go ahead.
Well, go ahead.
No, it was just the time. It was the perfect time. It was the perfect order. There was no traumatic events. I had a really happy childhood. You know, every kid has their ups and downs, just as every adult does.
Traumatic meaning that it causes a change. We automatically think about...
Okay, trauma, I interpreted it that
way.
Yeah,
I figured, yeah. But something that will shift your perception, because you moved from a relatively young age,
mm-hmm.
you moved from... your self-discovery,
yes,
of you are here on Earth, right, and you are here in this plane. You move from that right away to canceling yourself to a purpose of serving.
Yes.
Now, it could be because it was cool and you were 14 and it was just fascinating to experience that, and it could have been also a deeper meaning.
Yes.
But it feels that the reason you had it at that time is probably because you had the right tools at that moment already.
Yes. There was a knowing that I was here to help people in a bigger way. And that was the specific piece. It wasn't just because it was interesting or a cool thing to be involved in, but the voice of God is how I interpreted it. Mm. basically said, you're going to go into this industry because you're here to help people. And this is an industry, a vehicle for you to be able to help people in a big way, because people in the entertainment world are looked up to. Their voices are heard. When they're popular, people have the ability to follow them and to look up to them. They're leaders on some level, influencers mm-hmm. on some level. I mean, the voice didn't say it like that.
No, I get that. I'm with you. I get that.
But it was very clear. And again, just having this knowing already, I'm here for specific purpose. I'm not here to just wander around the planet and do odd ends and try to figure things out, you know, and be whimsical and lost. Like, I knew I was here, and it was very direct. There was a very strategic reason, and it's beyond logic. This is beyond logic, knowing this. This was a deep, deep, deep soul knowing that I was here for this specific purpose. And that, when the voice came in and said that, it locked that in for me. And so if it was a tool, perhaps the tool was, I had already recognized that through my self-discovery as a child, to know that I had this purpose here. And so when it came in, and already being connected to my intuition in my own unique way, it wasn't that, it was surprising, but it wasn't like, oh my God, I think I'm going crazy.
There wasn't a drastic, because you were kind of gradually prepared for that.
Exactly.
And probably that's what you needed also, maybe.
Right.
Because that's what happened.
Right. So. It was perfect how it unfolded, and I'm grateful for how it unfolded. Yeah.
No, I'm grateful too. You know, it is wonderful. You know, it's unique that you said as childhood you discovered and learned to integrate, because in the growing up, the problem is that we all have the tools. We all have the potential. We're all born here in a potential, and we are here to make something from the potential.
Yes.
It's the access to these tools that we didn't get.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's the access to these tools. And when I look at different modalities to induce this connectivity mm-hmm. vibration, mm-hmm. That is wonderful. And you do it through astral channeling,
mm-hmm.
right? I do through sound, I do through feelings, a lot of things, different modalities.
Yes.
And so we're not, this is the problem of all this generation until now. The new generation now is born already with it.
Yes.
This generation of doing the transition, that's also what the word shaman means.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Right, in Russian, it means that somebody who is one leg in this world, one leg in the other, so it's the bridging, right?
Mm-hmm.
The bridging between. So it's not a given that as a child you were able to discover that, because it's depends on the environment, very suppressed, not allowing you to.
I think it depends on environment. I think it depends on how we're raised and the kind of people that are taking care of us and nurturing us. I mean, I don't know if you believe this, but I believe on some level, on some deeper level, we do choose the environment and our family.
Oh, we choose where we come to.
Yes.
Yeah, to
absolutely.
Our journey. Yeah.
To foster what we need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
I mean, for some people, especially in our generation, I was known as I was toward the end of the indigo child years. And, you know, we were coming through as indigos to basically break down the systems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think for so many indigos, they purposely set themselves up on a soul level to incarnate into families or into, you know, areas of the world where they had to almost turn, or something would turn that part of them on to say, no, no more of this. We're breaking these systems down.
Mm-hmm.
I believe as well that the children who have, you know, who are on the planet now, who are coming through, are absolutely innately already have the higher level of consciousness. They're at a different frequency. They've already walked onto the planet knowing certain things that maybe people in our generations have taken almost maybe their entire lives to figure it out, right? You know, because it was a different time. It was a different consciousness on the planet when we were born. And it's just an evolutionary process. And I think, you know, since I would say, I mean, I've been doing this work professionally for almost 11 years, I've seen a dramatic change in terms of how many people are desiring to do this type of work within themselves, to discover who they are, to remember who they are. Mm-hmm. I didn't see this, you know, as frequently or as dramatically 10 years ago, though. It was slow. It's slowly increasing. And it's mostly people in our generation mm-hmm. that are the ones that are saying, I need the help. I would say also children who are coming in who are not in environments where those gifts and those abilities are being nurtured and accepted and fostered in a way that in their full expression, they need help as well. Mm-hmm. But I've always believed, and this is why I've always loved to work specifically with adults, is those children need an environment to really express and foster their gifts. But if the adults that are bringing them through can't give them that, then they're going to end up suppressing a lot of their mm-hmm. own connection and their own gifts just as much as their parents have. And it's actually going to be maybe even more difficult for them because they are much more sensitive, many of these children and teenagers coming in.
Well, every generation is bound to be better than its previous one.
Agreed.
And so it may be hard for them because, you know, I look at kids today and how their interaction and the way of living and, mm-hmm. and you say, how can you build a country? But they don't need to. That's the point. It's already built for them. Now they take it from here to the next, to forward.
Right.
So yes, children, the youngsters, it's amazing to see how it's those concepts and things that I like to talk about those all the how and mm. and the mapping of everything and how we map it. But sometimes it's hard for people to follow. There are people that they just want, just tell me what to do.
Right.
You know, we can see a million reasons why they're saying that, but mm-hmm. This is what I like to do. I like to take things and to simplify them. Mm. So now, how do you take a channeling? You get a message. Now, when you're going into a receiving mode, mm-hmm. are you in your essence part of the Palladians, or are you a vehicle to deliver from them?
It's a wonderful question. I mean, I am in trance, and when I prepare for trance, what it feels like is the personality self takes the back seat. I get out of the way, and this frequency, either call it I am the essence of a Palladian, or I am bringing them through. Mm. I can't give you a specific answer.
Yeah. No, you don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. However, how it comes through for me is it's always felt like the Palladian energy comes through. Now, many people would argue and they say, well, you're probably just, you know, channeling an aspect of your consciousness. Maybe you've come from the Pleiades yourself. Could be. Could be your higher self. Could be. But what's come through, it feels very different from when I've channeled my higher self. I will tell you that. It feels different. The quality of it is different. But when it comes through, the frequency is unlike anything in this world. Mm-hmm. It feels like home. Mm-hmm. It feels
like home that you had or home that you didn't have?
Probably from other lifetimes, okay. In other places. Talk about being out there, okay. Right? It feels like everything you need in that moment is there in an abundance. Mm. It's love, just peacefulness, tranquility, everything you need. It just, when that energy comes through, it's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, it's I had a few experiences like that, and it feels that it's summer and autumn and winter and spring and night and sun and everything at once.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Everything at once.
Yes. I mean, and if you ever get to have a chance to watch me channel, many people will notice in the room, I start to smile. My body starts to smile. I start to feel joy coming into the cells of my body because my personality is not, there's not something causing me to have joy outside of me. It's this internally sourced feeling of just so much joy and bliss that comes through that it causes my mouth, my lips to turn up, and it feels like ecstasy in that sense when it comes through. And then when I start to talk and bring the messages through, there's no thinking. It's just coming through.
It's coming on, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, and that's where I would say it for me, it very much feels like it is the Palladians coming through, because I'm not formulating the thoughts and then speaking them.
Why do you think there are Palladians specifically?
Well, I mean, I can speculate. I've had a real connection to them personally.
Mm-hmm.
There's been other galactic races that I've also felt connected to. But from what I've researched, the Palladians are specifically here at this time to help humans in their evolution. And they're said to be us in what we might define as the future. They're very closely related to what we are. We were even said to have been ancestors from them. There's a very close connection to their race and human beings, supposedly. And they can, what I love working about, what I love working with them around is that they have an idea and a almost like, it feels to me like a sense of knowing what it means to be in a physical body and to be human versus sometimes when I've heard other channels or when I've connected to other galactic races in the past, because I don't do that anymore, it doesn't feel, the substance doesn't quite feel like it can land here and really be accessible for a human being to take the message and practically apply it. There's a feeling of love. There's a feeling of connection. There's a feeling of joy with the Palladians that I haven't experienced with other galactic beings that I've connected to personally. Maybe others have different experiences, but the Palladians feel very, very close and near and dear to our own evolution and to human beings. Understanding of consciousness and awakening.
Yeah. Yeah. So have you been here before?
To this actual location?
To this actually presence.
Like in this moment?
In this time lapse of your life.
Have you been here before? Perhaps.
Yeah.
It feels like it. I mean, I know being on this planet, I've been here before. It feels like I've been here many times. And it feels also like I haven't been either. And that was part of the thing as a child. There was a big disconnect for me. It's something I actually have had to work through a lot this lifetime. And maybe some people will relate to this. Maybe some people won't. But there's been a strong part of me that's felt like this is not my home. This felt very foreign to me being on the earth. And people would say, well, that doesn't make any sense. You're human. You're here. Yes. And there was a sense that I had been elsewhere and it felt different. And we didn't have maybe the kinds of problems that we face as human beings, such a duality, so much polarity happening. And I struggled for a long time feeling like I belonged. I belonged here. But I also knew that I needed to be here. And that was the reason, the specific reason of being here.
So as a child, as you were discovering all this, it wasn't depressed or anything. It was encouraged, actually, by to bring it out, to discover it more, or was it more?
I kept it pretty quiet. You know, I was a very extroverted, bubbly child. I was also quite introverted. I would say I was ambivert. You know, I was an only child, so I could keep myself company, but I was also I got along with people. My parents are wonderful, wonderful individuals who really wanted to give me the best life. My father was an immigrant from Italy. My mother was second generation from Russia and Ukraine at the time. You know, her parents, you know, came from Eastern Europe. they wanted to give me the best life possible and enrolled me in all kinds of activities and arts and, you know, really taught me that you're here to be the best version of yourself. Did they expect me to go in this path? Absolutely not. And I knew on some level that I couldn't figure out what it was that I was feeling. It didn't feel tangible to me. It felt tangible to me as an individual, but I wasn't learning the particular things I was feeling in school. I didn't hear my peers and my classmates and friends talking about having these thoughts or feeling these things that I was feeling at a young age. I didn't hear my parents talk about those things. Intuition was not a word that was, you know, used in our home, so to speak. But I had a very strong interest in a lot of these things, and it was not repressed, or I wasn't taught to, that doesn't exist. Even though I went to Catholic school, you know, I would go to these little New Age shops and the spiritual stores, and I was always very interested in those things. I did projects in school around parapsychology in, you know, fourth grade, you know, so there definitely was support. But I think maybe to my parents, it could have just been a phase that I was going through. It didn't necessarily raise any concerns or yellow flags that, oh, my daughter's different and she's got these gifts and what do we do with that? It wasn't to that extent.
That's great, because now you're here.
Absolutely. And if anything had been different, I maybe wouldn't be here today.
I would be
a different person.
And this is great. You know, I was introduced to Vanessa not long ago, and I really enjoyed reading and seeing her work. You know, we're doing similar, just different aspects of work of service, and it's beautiful to see this development. Now, not everybody has Vanessa's story that is maybe supportive or accepting of who you are. With that, many times the blessings are in the challenges, in what we go through, in those problematic, what appear to be problematic moments that push us into a corner, because we are to see it by ourselves, or to see the light and to see what we have by ourselves, not coming from anybody else, confirmation, affirmation, or rejection. It is for us to see and for us to discover. And when we do that, it also feels better, because it wasn't just handed to us. And so coming home really is a good way of feeling or imagining the feeling of it. How does it feel when you are home? How does it feel when you are saying what you're saying without a fear of being judged or looked down upon or confirmed, affirmed, or rejected? Just to say what you're saying, or just to be who you are and how you feel at this particular moment, because in another moment you'll be somebody else. Or feel something else. So I encourage you to come show yourself. Bring yourself out. Many times you see on the videos, people only when they're happy and jolly and they put up their life on this platform or the other platform, and the double illusion that we're getting is that that's their life. They're so happy and jolly and our life is like this and like that. And it's just what we see. It's just what we see. Show yourself also, especially when you are in these moments of blah, or, you know, because this is what makes you. This is the way to be in the final Facebook shots, if you will. This is the process that we're going through. Every challenge, every doubt is a greater chance for opportunity. So I'm really excited that Vanessa is here sharing her story, and let's hear this.
Mm-hmm.
Shalom. That was Nathan Cohen, Sweet Winds, Ruach Metuka. And we're back here with Vanessa.
Hello.
Hello. And we're kind of having an interesting conversation just now in this short interlude. And I was like, oh, maybe we should put the mic on so people will listen. We were talking about diction.
Yes.
Right? About pronouncing, how we're pronouncing, and diction, and I wanted to point out, as I start pointing out, is it's in our words mm-hmm. that we are channeling the intention through, mm-hmm. and create, and creating is creating something from nothing, or innovating something from something. And so we're talking about the diction, and I was talking about the name of the show, Abracadabra, which literally means in Aramaic, I create as I speak. And there are many stories about rabbis that knew the power of language combination, mm-hmm. letters combination, to create. And they would create different entities for different purposes.
Right.
And so our words, how we say what we say, starting with our thought and breathing in to exhale the thought, the masculine again, and then listening with the feminine. So it's always going in a circle of four, like in our brain too, right? We have four. So language is something that always was for me a stronghold, I don't know, a key place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so we were talking about, we went before we went out of the break, you were talking about, what were you talking about?
I'm so present to the now, I don't remember. We were talking about development and just the knowing, the channeling piece we were talking
the
about.
The noetic sense of it.
Yeah, yeah, and how the channeling came through for me and how I interpret it and working with the Palladians and...
So when did you decide to or felt that you can embrace it? And let me ask you this before that. So now you know, you get information, aside from feeling, you get information, you get the different methods of experiencing this information. How do you work with yourself on that?
To prepare myself to...
No, how do you work on the lessons that you're getting from... the place that you're getting it from,
mm-hmm.
How do you apply it to you? Is it first an application to you and then, or is it as you go and as you are experiencing it with people?
It's a wonderful question. It's both. It's both. So when I'm doing the trance channeling work, and I'm in a cycle of doing a lot of channeling, mm-hmm. there will be intermittent breaks. Like, so right now I've had a little bit of a break in the last, you know, I would say several weeks where there hasn't been a lot of channeling with clients or events, anything. It's just been mostly coaching,
mm-hmm.
speaking, things like that. When I'm set to channel, I start to get the knowing, I get the information. I almost call it like the knock on the door.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hello, Vanessa. We need to speak with you. And I mean, I'm always going through my own shifts and my own lessons and growth. But when the channeling piece comes through, it's very specific because when I channel for clients and when I'm channeling for groups at my events and in the galleries in people's homes, I have to be able to transmit through a frequency and a consciousness that either I have to learn the lessons and apply it to myself first, so I get prepared before I channel, or as I'm channeling, there's pieces of me that are resonating and need to learn from the material as well to integrate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have any control over what it will be. So it's more or less it really requires me, it's not even a logical or a thought process, but to really trust what I'm receiving and to listen to what the guidance is coming through, it's saying. And sometimes I have to be honest with you, especially if I've already maybe learned a particular lesson and I've integrated it, I will channel and I'm not always as affected. I don't find that there's as many lessons that I need to learn specifically from what I've channeled for a client or for a group. The groups tend to be a little bit more intensive. And every time, Elon, I go and channel for a group, it's one of the most intense weeks leading
mm-hmm.
up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Physically, emotionally, mentally, all parts of my being are getting prepared in a sense, and anything that's in the way is moved out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
For me to be able to channel in a crystal clear way, every day my intention, I do intention setting every day as a part of my practices. I always intend to be a crystal clear conduit for channeling universal love, consciousness, and truth. That is my number one thing. As long as this is coming through in the most pristine energy, it is coming from universal love, from divine love, and from truth. I align my whole being to be able to be that person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, to be able to channel, to be the conduit for channeling, I've had to go through, so much growth and lessons and challenges and fear to be able to step in to do what I'm doing. Now, I didn't always channel the Palladians. This only came through in the last few years.
Oh, I see.
I was working with the angelic realm, with many ascended masters and spirit guides, with people's souls channeling in a more conscious way. So, you know, we'd be having a conversation. My voice might change slightly. My facial expression might change. You will feel Vanessa there, but it feels like there's something else coming through. But with trance channeling, my eyes are closed. I'm pretty much sitting in a seat. I'm not moving. I'm, you know, and my voice sounds different. So trance channeling has accelerated many aspects of my development to be able to do this type of work at this level. And it is very intensive. It's been very challenging at times. And it's also been absolutely magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. And the premise of the work with the channeling is to help others to embody their magnificence, their full expression. When you were channeling at the end there, that's what it felt like to me before we went into our interlude. It's giving people the permission to fully be who they are, who they're here to be, who they're meant to be.
Yeah, you know, though, that we feel that this is who we are to be, but really we don't know what we are to be, you know? Also feeling who you are meant to be or what you are supposed to do really comes many times from the previous experiences that you've been in, that that have tainted or created a scenario in your head that you can see and believe that.
Right.
You know, so when you say this information is available for them to remember themselves and like I say, to reclaim their power, to remember the power. But sometimes they may be in an unhealthy place, and we're looking at it from an umbrella standpoint, looking from not the details of the story, but just the umbrella, the patterns or the feeling. So if you know that a person is in a certain way going through this pattern that is a repeating pattern, you see that. So the information will actually, I mean, can crack him open to the other side, but can also lead him in continuous believing where that person is and continuing with that trajectory. But they're not aware.
Right.
They're not aware. So, so that needs to be broken down sometimes. That needs to be watered down, all this information. So how do you know if this person in front of you is ready to receive?
Well, great question. When people typically come to me for my private work, I know that there's a deeper resonance. There's some sort of connection. There's some sort of knowing. I get the clients that are really quite aligned that will come to me. And when we get on the call and I'm, you know, hearing about their story and where they're at, really for me, I know that they're ready to break through based on a lot of their language and how they're showing up. For me, I am in a place with my guidance where I'm here to empower the people who are coming to me, but they have to want to empower themselves first. And I always say to every potential client and, you know, on all of my social media, you are the authority of your life. If you're coming to me or coming to the Palladians to fix you, this is not going to work because there's nothing to be fixed. If you're coming to me to have me transmit or do whatever work on you so that you walk away a different person, this is not going to work. Because the willingness to break free from patterns, whether they're conscious or not of it, has to be there. There has to be a willingness of, there's something within me that feels like I am not experiencing or expressing or having the life or the fulfillment or the connection to myself or to others in a way that I know that I'm meant to. I don't know maybe what that looks like, how to get there, but I know that I'm meant for something more. I know that I'm meant to become something more, to do something different, or to step more into my power, my leadership. So oftentimes in groups, it's different because everybody's intentions when they come to a channeling event is going to be different. There are going to be people who are going to sit there that just want to receive and think that I'm going to walk out of this room and I'm going to be a totally different person tomorrow. And for some people, I will say, Elon, it happens. Depending on, you know, what they need. Their soul brought them there for a reason. For some people, they'll walk away and they'll say, this is garbage. You know, I didn't feel anything. Nothing happened to me. For other people, they'll come in just curious and neutral. And then there are people that are sitting in there that are like, I love this and I'm ready to go deeper. And I'm ready to really look more specifically at what these messages are and how they're affecting me, how they're affecting my life day to day, and how I can make those changes. And that's typically when people will come to me to do the work over a period of time to look at the patterns, to look at the fears, to look at the parts of themselves that are unconscious or aren't even sure or aware of what's preventing them from, you know, going to the next level. And that's where more of the practicality comes in. I mean, the transmissions through the trans channeling are very practical in the events. But we're also dealing with numerous levels of consciousness and development. So when I'm channeling in a group, there's so many people in different parts of their journeys. Every person's going to hear what they need to hear and get what they need to get. And the one thing I always say in the channeling, it's not so much the words, but it's the vibration behind them. I call it like a living transmission. When I'm speaking and when the Palladians are speaking through me, they're speaking in a language that everybody can understand, but everybody's interpretation of the language that's coming through is going to be different based on their life, their perception, the lens, you know, their consciousness, their life experiences. So when we actually go into the portion in the trance channeling, which includes the light language and the vocal toning, that actually is so much more potent almost than the English transmission, because now the brain doesn't have to try to figure out what's being said to understand it based on their perspective, based on their consciousness. They're in a state of receiving the vibrational frequency, that just like when you use the sound bowl, right? It's like we're not trying to figure out what the bowl is saying or how it's working on us. It's the same thing with that, where it can bypass the mind or the part of the mind that's trying to figure out what does this mean, or trying to make meaning out of it. When there's no meaning to make out of it, because it's just energy, it's just vibration. And that's working on different levels of the body and on subtle levels, and sometimes, you know, more gross levels, depending on what the person needs. And so sometimes people might walk out and feel like nothing's happened, but so much has.
Yeah, it's when I do ceremonies or work with people, I say the journey is always after the journey.
Exactly.
So we go through this experience, we are like sponges. You know, dry sponges on the shower, and then we get soaked with a lot of things. And really, after we go through the experience, or whether it's through sound or the herbs that I work with, it's slowly things are becoming clear. So really the understandings and breakthroughs that can happen after.
Agreed.
After that experience, after that. Well, listen. This has been a very short, wonderful time. Vanessa Petronelli, Vanessa VANESSA Petronelli.
Yes.
PETRONELLI.com.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Yes, you got it.
Yeah, and it's been really. We really didn't touch. We really just touched the tip of the.
I think we could keep talking. I think we could keep talking
for hours. But what I want to do before we go is talk about briefly now, this time, about the connection with sound, and because we are made of frequency, or we are made of sound, of vibrations, of frequencies. The best medicine really for our body and our soul is that which we're made of. And this is sound and frequency. So Tibetan bowls, I love them because they contain seven metals. They have different frequencies that correspond to each part of your physical and spiritual body. And different frequencies cause different things. Yes. For example, 285 hertz here. Really descends. Now, you have to understand that you're listening through your phone or through whatever speaker that you are. And so you're getting some frequencies cut off in the transmission of the ball. So 285 sends actually directions to the cells and to the brain to regenerate those damaged cells. And that goes to our vibration, to our words vibration, to how we talk, to how we say, to what we say, to how we hear what is coming to us or for us, and make meaning of that. And how do we make these connections between these meaning tools? How do we use these? And so feeling in this place of freedom where there is no judgment and you can just be without an ounce of excuse of why or how. Where you can just be and allow yourself to find yourself through just the expansion. I want to thank Vanessa. It's been a pleasure
having you.
And you're listening, or you listened to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. I'm Ilan Azulay, on the web at bodysoulsound.com or on Facebook /bodysoulsound. Have a wonderful week.
Yes.
Make magic and create what you speak.
Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.